Dover Charif, a sharp food. If you have a food which is sharp, which is spicy, like, for example, chiltis is a common example the Gemara gives, which is also discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. Chiltis literally translates as asafoetida. It's some Latin designator for whatever chiltis means, and it seems there are multiple pronunciations of this term. But for our purposes, chiltis is a plant which is very popular in Talmudic times. It's also discussed in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, which is apparently extremely sharp. Another example of a sharp food would be tznoin, a radish, shum, garlic, or batzal, onions, or anything that's heavily spiced. So there are three chumras, three stringencies that we see by a davar charif, by a sharp food. Number one, we learned about the idea of eine ben yoyme, that you can have bleis, you can have absorptions in a pot, and the pot was not used in the past 24 hours, those bleis, those absorptions, are considered pugul. So if you have milk absorbed inside of a pot, and you haven't used this pot in the past 27 hours, then if you went ahead and cooked meat in the pot, the meat, b'dieved, would not be considered trafed up by the milk, because we don't consider the milk absorptions in the pot to be tasty absorptions. We rather say that they diminish the quality of the food, and therefore they do not detract from the kosher status of your meat dish. The exception to this is if you cooked a spicy meat stew inside of the pot. If it's spicy, then the sharpness, the chemical sharpness, is meant to react with the bleis, at least according to Chazal, that it reacts with the bleis, it reacts to the absorbed milk inside of the walls of the pot, and now those bleis become mishubachim. They become considered good bleis, bleis that would add flavor to your pot, and therefore, if you're cooking a davar charif in the pot, then your pot and its contents would now be treif. Another stringency by davar charif is that it gets rid of the kula of nat bar nat. Nat bar nat literally means a giver of taste, the son of a giver of taste. And often in rabbinic literature, it's referred to as tamish and tamsheni, first taste and second taste. So what does nat bar nat mean? How does it apply? So if you cook broccoli, say, together with meat, even though it's the case that the broccoli itself doesn't have any meat in it, since it directly absorbed meat, the broccoli has a phylaceic status, and you would not be able to eat this broccoli together with milk. However, let's say you cooked meat in a pot, and then you cleaned the pot, and then within a half hour, or within 10 minutes, you have a clean pot which absorbed meat, and now you cook broccoli in that pot. So once the broccoli comes out of the pot, you would be able to eat the broccoli with milk. And why is that? Because the broccoli did not directly absorb meat taste, but it only indirectly absorbed meat taste. Step one is you have meat which goes into the walls of the pot. And then step two is that the meat taste comes out of the walls of the pot and into the broccoli. So since the broccoli is now a step removed from the meat, the broccoli has a parv status, and you're able to eat the broccoli together with milky food. Now, the exception to this rule is, let's say you cooked onions in this pot. So although it's the case the broccoli you would be allowed to eat together with milchik food, you would not be permitted to eat the onions along with milchik food. And the reason being that the tam sheni, the nat bar nat, the layer of removal, which was facilitated by the pot, is considered removed because the onions, according to the Chazal, intensify the taste of the absorbed meat that was in the pot, and now the onions have a status of phylaceic relative to eating them with other food. The third issue with davar charif, the third stringency with davar charif, comes up by duch, the sakina, comes up with the pressure of a knife. So the case here would be, let's say that you cut an onion with a milchik knife, meaning that the knife had been exposed to hot milk, so now it has absorbed hot milk. So if you cut the onion with the milchik knife, now the milk taste is absorbed into the onion, and the onion now becomes milchik, and you'd not be allowed to eat this onion with phylaceics. According to the Mechaber, you only need to be concerned about a finger's thickness of the onion. A finger's thickness of the onion is now being considered milchik, but according to the Ramah, lechatchila, the entire onion now takes on a milchik status, and you will not be allowed to eat any of this onion with fleishiks. So those are our three chumras for Davar Harif. Number one, we see that it gets rid of the kula of Eina Bin Yemei. Number two is we see that it gets rid of the kula of Nat Bar Nat. And number three is we see that when it comes to a knife, a Davar Harif is going to add a layer of stringency and is going to cause the taste in the knife to be conveyed into the Davar Harif, into the sharp food. The source for the Chumrah of Davar Harif comes up in Mesechus of Avodah Zarah Lam Tesav Aleph in the discussion of a Kliyat Shel Chiltis, a sliver of Chiltis, which is a very sharp plant. So if you cut it with an usser knife, if you cut it with a knife, say that it absorbed pork fat, it had been cooked with hot pork or touched hot pork, so we say that the chiltis becomes usser. It's usser as a result of the absorbed pig fat inside of the knife, and the Gemara there says, agav chorfei de chiltisa, as a result of the sharpness of the chiltis, mechalya sham nisa. It sweetens the fat. It extracts the fat from the knife, and it causes the fat to be nice and tam l'shvach. We view the fat as if it's a tasty fat now, and thereby ashes the chiltis. The Rishonim argue if this din in the Gemara is only true of a chiltis, which is especially sharp, or is it true of all sharp things? It seems like the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tzadi Vav, Sif Aleph, rules like the Ma'aram, to say that this din of absorption with the knife is only true of chiltis, but not of all sharp foods. However, the Ramah in Siman Tzadi Vav Sif Gimel is machmir, and he says that all sharp foods would have the same din. Any sharp food would awaken the blias, and the shach rules that way as well. But we should know this is only true with respect to the knife that's cutting the chiltis, so according to the Ramah, the onion. But let's say, so now the knife, which had been used for pork, and you used it to cut chiltis, so the chiltis is going to be usher. But let's say you went ahead and then cut some tomatoes with the knife. So the chiltis doesn't render the knife completely usher. All the chiltis does is it renders itself usher. When the knife goes and further cuts tomatoes, the bleus in the knife will not transfer to the tomato. Now, what quantity, how much of the thing that you're cutting becomes usher as a result of the problematic bleus inside the knife? So we have a similar sugya in Chulin Daf Kufi Dalaf and Beis. There we learn, Tznoin shechatochi b'sakin, shechatach ba'basar, asr lo'achle b'kotach, da'agav chorfei bala. If you have a radish which you cut with a fleishik knife, you would not be able to eat this radish together with kotach, which is like a yogurty mixture from Bavel. The agav chorfei, because as a result of the sharpness of the tznoin, it absorbs the meaty taste. The simple understanding is that the entire tznoin, the entire radish, is now not permitted to be eaten with milk. And that's in fact how the Rash bend around on the sugya. However, the Rash holds that only chiltis is completely usher, because its kernels are very small, and you can't know where they were cut by the knife. However, when it comes to radish, which is somewhat bigger, it's only nesar kedei klipa, only the outermost layer cannot be eaten together with, in this case, milk, but the rest of the radish would be mutter. The Ravid and other Rishonim say that the tznoin is usser kedei nitila. It's usser, not just the klipa, but a finger's worth that needs to be removed. And the Ramah, in fact, rules like the Ravid that you'd only need to remove a kedei nitila. However, the Ramah rules that we're going to consider the entire radish usser to be eaten with milk. And most Rishonim say that this din of Davar Harif is not only true of chiltis, but it's true of all sharp foods, and that's in fact the Shulchan Aruch rules in Siman Tzadi Vav Sif Beis. With respect to getting rid of the heter of Nat Bar Nat, so we derive that from the fact that in principle, when you cut the tznoi, when you cut the radish, or whatever other sharp thing with the knife, it shouldn't be considered a real bliya, it should only be nat bar nat, because the radish is not coming directly into contact with meat. It's only coming in contact with meat that had been absorbed into the knife. So here, Rashi gives us two rationales for why it is that we don't say not brenat. Number one, says Rashi, it's very likely that there is still actual beef fat or actual meat fat on the knife, because knives apparently back in the day were less likely to be washed off. So you're not dealing with a case of mere absorption. You're dealing with actual meat, and actual meat has gone on to your sharp thing, has gone on to your radish. The second reason given in Rashi is that the radish's sharpness, or the davar charif's sharpness, draws out the blias, it draws out the absorbed stuff that's inside the knife. So according to the second reason, even if your knife was totally clean, it would still be impermissible to eat the radish with milk. If you have a charif lach, if you have a very sharp, spicy liquid, even if it's cold, the Shach and the Chachmas Adam bring some opinions that it would have the power to extract and to exude a taste. So therefore, although it's the case that usually, if you have a non-kosher container, let's say you have a cup in which pork bone broth was cooked, you'd be allowed to drink a cup of water out of that cup after the cup has been cleaned, because so long as the cup is cold, it's not going to be able to transfer the trefus from the treif bone broth. However, the opinion cited in the Shach and Chacham Sadam say that if you're dealing with a davar charif, the davar charif will in fact extract the trefus from the container, and it'll turn the davar charif, it'll turn your spicy sauce into treif spicy sauce. So you would not be able to put a kosher, sharp liquid inside of a cold container which had been used for treifus in the past. Another case where davar charif causes problems is by the issue of recha lav milsa. There's a rule that recha, which means the smell or the non-visible steam, the non-visible exudings that are coming out of the dish, are not considered relevant for the linyan kashrus. So an example of this would be, let's say you have a tanur gadol, let's say you have a reasonably large oven, and in your oven you have a cheese souffle and a meat souffle cooking together, as in they're in two distinct pots, they're not touching one another, the pot's not touching one another, and they're not putting off any steam. But of course there are some molecules coming out of them which are creating smell. So we say that bidyeved, although you shouldn't do this, if you did do it, your dishes are not going to become treif. You can still eat the cheese souffle and you can eat the meat souffle. However, if the meat souffle was an onion meat souffle, if the meat souffle had davar charif, let's say spicy peppers, whatever spicy stuff you had there, then we're going to take away the kula of recha lav milsa, and we're going to say that your cheese souffle and your beef souffle, which has the spicy stuff in it, are both not kosher. And once again, this follows from the idea that a davar charif intensifies taste and intensifies transferability of taste. Now, it's controversial what exactly goes on the list of davar charif beyond chiltis, silka, which are beets, snoin, radishes, batzel, onions, shum, and garlic. But the general rule of thumb is that anything which would be too challenging to eat on its own would be hard to stomach because of its sharpness is considered a davar charif. So let's review. In this year, we met the concept of davar charif. Davar charif literally means a sharp item. And this sharp item, this davar charif, is going to have a lot of chumras. And those chumras basically center around its intensifying taste. So number one, davar charif is going to get rid of the kula of tam pagum enay ben yoyma, meaning that although it's the case that if you had a milchik kli, a milk container, which had not been used in the past 25 hours, if you then went ahead and cooked meat inside of it, we would say that the absorbed taste in the milk container is incapable of de-kosherifying the kosher meat because it's not strong enough. This davar charif is going to intensify the taste and is now going to make your meat non-kosher by transferring the milk into it. Next, we said that you don't have the kula of nat bar nat. Nat bar nat, the classic example, is if you cook broccoli in a fleshic pot, which does not have any meat. Since the broccoli is not coming in contact directly with meat, but is only coming into contact with meat, which is absorbed in the walls of the fleshic pot, it's considered sufficiently removed from the meat taste. Davar Choref, however, if you were cooking onions in this pot, they would upgrade the absorptions, they would intensify the taste of the meat in Halacha's eyes, and therefore the onions would now be considered fleshic onions. And finally, in a case where you're cutting a Davar Choref with a knife, and the knife is a milchik knife or a fleshic knife, the knife is cold now, but it previously absorbed some hot milk or meat, so it's going to transfer its status to the Davar Choref, because the Davar Choref, according to Rashi's second understanding, is going to extract the taste in the knife. Finally, we saw that a Davar Choref is going to cause Recha to be Milsa, meaning although it's the case that usually we say, if you have milk and meat, a milk dish on its own, and a meat dish on its own in the same oven, Bidi Evet, the two will not trade for another up because the taste is not intense enough to transfer between the two dishes, between the two things you're cooking. If one of them is davar choref, that's going to upgrade the taste and it's going to make the taste stronger, and it will be able to transfer just by mere recha alone, by mere steam, by mere invisible steam, given that they're in the same oven. And now you have an intensified taste. And then in terms of the things that are on the list of davar choref, we saw that you have chiltis, this sharp plant from the Gemara. In English, it's called by its Latin name, asafotida. It's probably not too helpful. You have silka, which is the beet, tsnoin, which is the radish, batzal, onions, and shum, which is garlic. And then there may be other things that live on the list, but the primary rule of thumb for davar choref is a thing which is so sharp that you would not consume it on its own without first watering it down or in some other way preparing it for consumption.